that moment of technical pause there. I invite all of us to listen again now for God's word as it comes from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. This is the lectionary passage for this Trinity Sunday and also the passage I'll be preaching on. It's a very short passage and one that comes, as I'll say again in a minute, in a very long series of passages, a long section in John that we call the farewell conversation of Jesus with his disciples. Invite us to listen again for God's word. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak not on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the word of the Lord. This sermon may be a little thicker going for a few minutes than some of my sermons. You may think all of my sermons are pretty thick going. But I invite you to listen a little bit more closely. I don't really know a lot of ways to approach this passage other than to sort of talk through what these verses say. And I'm going to focus this morning in the sermon particularly on just two of the verses, verses 12 through 13. As I said just a second ago, this passage, as a matter of fact, is one of the five passages in the Gospel of John that is about what Jesus calls here the Paraclete. It's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate. Now, all five of these passages come in chapters 14 through 16 of the Gospel of John. We've heard some of the others in the last few weeks as we've read here. We're still in that, as I mentioned a minute ago, we're still in that long section, wrapping up that long section that is called technically Jesus' farewell discourse or his farewell words, his farewell conversation with his disciples on the very last night before he leaves them and goes and dies on the cross. Listen again to some of what Jesus says here, and I'm going to try to give some of the phrases and some of the words particular emphasis. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Now, there's a tremendously important faith issue here and theological issue, not one that we discuss every day, I'm sure. It's not even obvious to us. But the issue here in this passage is that Jesus is leaving. Jesus is leaving his followers. He'll die on the cross, and then after the resurrection, he'll ascend into heaven, and he'll go back to the Father, to God the Father. Now, we can't begin to understand what a crisis this was for Jesus' disciples and for those early followers of Jesus that were still there with him. And here's why. In the Gospel of John, particularly, all of God's words of eternal life are in Jesus himself. God's word of eternal life is present in Jesus himself. So when Jesus is physically present, God's word of eternal life is right there, physically present. As we use the term at Christmas, incarnate, incarnation. God's word is incarnate. It's in the bodily presence, the physical presence of Jesus. Now, so the crisis then is, what now? If God's gift of eternal life is in Jesus himself, then what about when Jesus is gone? Does that mean the end? Do all of God's promises, all of God's words of eternal life leave with Jesus? Is eternal life only possible for those first believers, that first generation who could actually be in the physical presence of Jesus? Or will eternal life somehow still be possible for Jesus' followers in the future, after that generation? In other words, for us, for everybody that followed that first generation. Somehow God's presence had to be possible after Jesus left, or we're lost. Belief would be lost. There wouldn't be any way to believe. There wouldn't be any message about Jesus. There couldn't be any church if that were not true. It's the genius of John, the writer of John, that he understood Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, as he calls it here. Here's the point. Everything that Jesus says in this passage is about the future. The future was in question, and everything he says here is about the future. And more specifically, it's about the future for his disciples and all of those who will follow after them when Jesus has ascended and gone back to the Father. Jesus gives the promise of the Holy Spirit to the community of faith, to the church, not just to individuals, that's another sermon, but to the community, the church. The Spirit is the way that Jesus is with us when he's not with us any longer, to help us and to protect us and to teach us all the things that we still need to know. One more time, here's some of his words specifically. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But the Spirit of truth will come, and he will guide you." Everything Jesus says here is about the promised coming of the Holy Spirit. It's about what the Spirit will do for us. It's about what the Spirit will teach us. It's about the gifts of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit that the Spirit will do for us in, and here's a key, in new situations. When Jesus' followers and when we after face situations, new situations that we can't anticipate, that we can't understand, that we maybe can't even imagine, the Holy Spirit is with us. Now that may sound obvious. Maybe you've already known that. But my guess is that most of us don't think about it a lot, that most of us don't pray for the Holy Spirit. Most of us don't in any way think about the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And I really sometimes wonder if we understand how important the Holy Spirit, I'm not going Pentecostal on you here, but I wonder if we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in living our Christian faith every day. The Holy Spirit is the way that Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still present. Jesus is still in our lives every day for all the situations that we face, for the new things that are going to come at us unexpectedly, things that we and other believers couldn't possibly have imagined back there, so to speak. Now again, that may sound obvious, but let me tell you how unobvious it can be and why this is so important and why I'm repetitive about it. Several months ago, I was in a conversation with someone who is a member of another church. It's another denomination, very different than most of the churches, and it's not a church here in our town, by the way. But this person insisted that their church has what amounts to the truth, the truth. And this person said to me that the gift, the only gift of the Holy Spirit to the church now is the Bible, the Scriptures. And they went on to say that the Scripture is this Spirit-given gift that, and I wasn't surprised at these words, cannot be added to in any way by man, or that one who tries to add to the word is accursed. Well, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I couldn't back down. So I pushed some, and I said, okay, then because I know what we believe and I know what many churches believe. I said, okay, does your church then believe that the Holy Spirit continues to inspire Christians? That the Holy Spirit continues to show us Jesus' example and his teachings and to help us to understand what Jesus is saying to us in new circumstances, in the things that weren't there when the writers wrote the New Testament and the Gospels, when Jesus had left his followers. In other words, does the Holy Spirit still inspire us? And the answer that I got was an absolute no. Spirit doesn't add anything to what's already been done and said as recorded in the Scriptures. Now, that is a remarkably small and narrow and tightly controlling understanding of the Spirit. But what's more, it's a complete denial. It's a complete contradiction of what Jesus himself says in this passage. He says, I have many things still to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. I want to talk for just a second about that verb there in the Greek, to bear, because this is one of those times when we need to specifically understand what the Greek says as compared to the way that we translate it. That verb in Greek usually means, as we would think it means, the physical act of carrying a burden, carrying a load. We might, when we say that, carrying a load to bear, we might mean a physical load, or we might mean an emotional load or a spiritual load. But here the word is a metaphor, and it refers to the burden that the disciples and Jesus' followers will have to carry out into the future. And Jesus knows that it's a future that is going to test them in many ways, in ways that they can't possibly know at the present moment. And so essentially what Jesus is saying here is, right now, I can't teach you anything more about the future, but the Holy Spirit will come and he will guide you when you need that. And he says the Spirit will teach us all truth when the future comes at us. All truth here does mean that Jesus' words are truth. The truth of Jesus' words never changes, but the point is that we have to understand how Jesus' truth, how Jesus' word applies to new situations and to challenges and to things that the disciples never could have imagined, or that Christians 1,000 years ago couldn't have imagined, or 500 years ago, or 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago. I'm going to close with what may have been sort of a thick sermon so far and a bit repetitive, but I want to close with something a little more lighthearted, but I think it has a real message in it. And you teachers here are going to love this, I think. A Professor Steinberg at Temple University in Philadelphia a few years ago did a study on what makes the best relationships between teenagers and their parents. And out of the study, he developed a theory that he called responsive parenting. I guess to put it simply, Steinberg concludes that the single most important key to good parenting is, in his words, the parent's constant ability in word and in action to respond to a child's specific behavior and personality. And what that boils down to, he says, is the more talkative and patient the parent, and the more time the parent spends talking to the teenager, the better adjusted is the teenager. I see some teenagers smiling, some parents here too. I'm really wondering if I ran that survey, I wonder if the parents and the teenagers here would come to anything like Professor Steinberg's conclusions. But anyway, someone commenting on that study then says, this confirms my more unscientific opinion, namely that there seems to be some kind of connection between good teaching and constant talking. He says, the best teachers that I've known are often the biggest talkers. And he means that as a compliment. He says, visit their classrooms and you'll find that when the bell rings at 8 in the morning until it rings again at 2:30 in the afternoon, they're constantly talking. They're constantly communicating. He says it's sort of like Okay, class, today we're going to study prepositions. Do we study prepositions anymore? I don't know. But, you know, today we're going to study this. And then, okay, John, that'll be enough from you. You can sit down, get your book out. Is this Monday or something already? And then she says, okay, who can tell me about some prepositions? Tell me something I don't know. Gloria? Okay, good, Gloria. That's good. Now, somebody else tell me something that you don't know about prepositions. John, anytime you want to sit down, it'll be just fine with me. Get your book out. We're just trying to have school here. Don't mind what's going on around us. Talking and communicating. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them yet. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. When you boil it all down, the Holy Spirit is Jesus still talking to us and protecting us and strengthening us and comforting us and leading us and helping.